Blog Talk Radio.
Well, aloha and good evening, everybody. This is Alana Kay with the Violet Phoenix. And tonight we're talking about the fear of death and how do we get past this. I feel like the recent coronavirus situation has really triggered a lot of things. Fear of death and fear of the unknown and a lot of things like that. And I'm trying to help with the fear of the unknown by helping people align with their soul so that they have their inner guidance. But I think it would probably be helpful if we make our decisions not based on fear. And I'd like to see if me and my guest today, Lisa Jones, who had a shared death experience with her husband when he transitioned, I'd like to see if we can talk about this and hopefully make people feel a little bit better about the continuity of our consciousness. The consciousness that's within us does not have a beginning and an end. It is just our body. We are on an organic planet, and it works this way. As you look around and you see the trees dropping their leaves, and it's all based on evolution, and the natural cycle is what we have to fit into. We are spirits expressing ourselves through an organic body on an organic planet, and this is how it works. So there are just thousands, countless accounts of people who have had near-death experiences, and that is where a person has a physical event of whatever nature. Very often, the heart stops, and the soul starts to leave the body, and then for whatever reason, various reasons, once again, comes back into the body and continues the life. So there's a moment when they were basically clinically dead, and they came back. Now there's the situation where the shared death experience is where a loved one or a group of loved ones share at least a part of the transitioning to a different realm. And that's why I brought Lisa with me today. Lisa Jones has a website, and she has a show on YouTube called The Real Ones, and her websites and so on are listed at the bottom of the show description, as well as my websites. And I also have many books that are listed on my website, so please check those out, and please click on follow so that you get notified when we schedule shows. But we do a show every Wednesday at this time, 5 o'clock Pacific time. It's 2 o'clock here in Hawaii. So I'm going to bring Lisa on. Good afternoon here. Hi, Lisa. Thank you for joining me. You want to tell us a little bit about your shared death experience? Oh, shoot. I didn't realize I had to turn your mic on. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't realize it turned off your mic.
Thrilled to be here with you.
I'm so glad
no
I have somebody
yeah,
who's
I'm
had this experience firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was quite shocking to me. I had no idea that this was even something that was possible. My husband had been sick for 7 years with cancer, and at the very end, we had called hospice in, and they said, you know, he actually looks pretty good. It'll probably be another couple of weeks before, you know, he takes his last breath. And his brother and best friend had arrived to our house. We lived in Connecticut at that point. And so I went to my daughter's room that first night after hospice had arrived. And like I said, his brother and best friend stayed with him in our bedroom. And I laid down and I just prayed to God. And I was talking to angels at that point. and just asking, you know, please help us, because I just don't know if I can do this for two more weeks. You know, he had taken a real turn in that last 24 hours, and it was just really scary. And I didn't know what was going to happen. At that point, I was 37 years old, and I still had three living grandparents. I had lost a grandparent when I was very young, but I had not experienced death in my life before that. And frankly, I thought my husband was going to go to hell, because I was raised very religiously and was taught that if you weren't baptized, that you wouldn't go to heaven. And he wasn't baptized, and I was very, very afraid for his soul. So, so the experience was, like I said, I prayed to God and the angels, and then I closed my eyes and went to sleep. And yet I completely left my body and had this experience of going to actual heaven and being there with two angels that escorted me into this beautiful realm. I mean, I've never experienced anything like it here on this planet Earth. It was the most loving, beautiful, clean, just pristine. There were colors that I've never seen on this planet Earth, and there was all of these souls that were gathering together, that were coming together kind of in this big courtyard, in this almost castle-like, you know, experience that looked so much like everything I'd heard heaven looked like. It looked like, you know, gold-paved roads and just this beautiful silver and gold buildings, and there were all these banners flying, and there was an announcement. My husband's name was Ian Sharp, and so the announcement was, the grand Mr. Ian Sharp is about to arrive, and everybody was just so excited, and all these souls just came rushing forward and into this big open area, this big courtyard. And all of a sudden, I mean, there were choirs singing and just this huge fanfare of energy that was building. And then all of a sudden, this giant door started to open, and everybody turned and looked, and they were like, oh, my God, here he is. And right at that moment, before he stepped in, there was a knock on the physical door of my daughter's room where I was sleeping. And it was, you know, knock, knock, knock. Lisa, wake up. Ian just took his last breath. And right at that moment, before I got to see Ian come into heaven, a trap door opened, and I just fell back into my body. It felt like I, you know, like a thud right into my body. And I jumped up, and I was so happy. I had no idea that I could experience happiness at the moment of someone's death. And I just was like, oh, my God, you know, he is in the most amazing place. He got to go to heaven, you know, and I just was thrilled. And yet I could hardly contain myself. And yet I didn't want to say something to his brother, you know, because I just I didn't even know what had just happened other than I saw this amazing vision. And so I ran down to the bedroom, and there was Ian laying on the bed, and I could tell his soul was gone. He wasn't there. It was like just a shell, you know, his body.
Right.
And and I just kept thinking, I'm like, oh, my God, I am so happy for him, right? I'm so happy for him. But I was so sad for me and my two children. They were 7 and 10 at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really, that was obviously the hard part. But I was so happy for him.
Uh-huh. Wow, you know, this is the first time I'm hearing the story from you.
So, yeah,
this
was
great.
My story,
I love that. Wow. That's really cool because.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Like I said.
And then in the morning, I'll go ahead. We have a little delay, it seems, so I'll let you talk.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that when I was checking this out to research shared death experiences, because the first time I heard of it was when you told me about it. That the shared death experiences are all very, very, very different, whereas the near-death experiences are a lot more similar. And I think it has a lot to do with where you are on your evolutionary spiral and kind of like what you're ready for. And I think it's interesting that you had no clue that this was coming, and then here it was. And I think it's really neat that it was more or less the answer to your question, your lifelong question about the baptism as related to going to heaven. And also the thing where, you know, you were happy for him. So go ahead and elaborate. I just was about to say that, but I, you know, if there's anything else you wanted to say, please share. Did you ever get a chance to
start
with the family?
Yes, I appreciate that, and I agree. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've written a book about it, and, I mean, not so much about the shared death experience. Actually, in the last 3 years of moving to Maui, I feel like it's really opened up so much more of that experience for me, because at the time it happened, I didn't know what it was, and I thought it was just kind of something that was really cool, but I didn't realize it was an actual phenomenon that other people experience. And it wasn't until I started reading near-death experience books and things that I almost fell out of my chair when I was reading their experience, because it was so similar and yet completely different from mine, in that I didn't have some sort of life-threatening situation happen to me, but it was certainly a life-changing experience. I always call it, it was divine dispensation, you know, from God, from the universe to me, to let me know that he was going to be okay, because I don't think I could have, you know, I couldn't have handled my life thinking that he had gone to hell. So I feel like spirit said, we need to give this poor soul a little glimpse of what she left, so she doesn't.
I know, it's like
apart.
A gift.
And then the interesting thing is that's what opened my mediumship. It was a total gift.
Exactly.
And then my mediumship actually started working that night, because he started talking to me that next morning. I had to go tell the children, because they were staying at somebody else's house. And as I was preparing, blow-drying my hair, all of a sudden Ian's voice was right in my ear. I mean, clear as day. Mm-hmm. And he just said, "Oh, my God, Lisa, I love you. But it is so awesome here." And I just was like filled with tears of joy, and just knowing that he was there and he was talking to me, and he's been talking to me ever since for 16 years. He's amazing. And he's always with me and my children. And I'm so grateful to have that experience with him.
Wow. You know, I had an experience. So what year was this that this happened for you?
2004.
Okay. So in 1994, I had an experience where my children were young and I lived in a very crime-ridden area. And there had been some recent deaths and suicides in my life. And I started praying really intensely to Jesus. And I'm flipping through the Bible and I'm trying to find answers. I want to know why good people are dying, or why the world is so much in pain and stress and violence and all this kind of thing. I'm like, God, how could God let this happen? And I broke into tears, and I was in that teary state. I ended up crying for 3 days, and it was the beginning of an incredible journey where I was shown that heaven is a parallel realm to this, and it actually underlies everything. So it's really here, and that's why I wrote my book, Heaven Is Here, to explain that it's when you shift into heart consciousness. And the reason I brought this up too is because this is when my mediumship happened, because the one death that really finalized the triggering of me really wanting to know, I heard the person say, "I'm right here." And I had that happen with a schoolmate who passed on very young. He would come in my dreams and say, "I'm still here." And so therein lies the evidence that we've experienced, that Lisa and I have both experienced, about the continuity of consciousness, that, you know, the organic body comes and goes, and it can only last a certain amount of time, and sometimes things happen, but the person continues on. So, yeah, both Lisa and I learned to hear. When you get to a certain level, when you know how to get to that place, then you can hear the loved ones, and you realize that everything is really fabulous on the other side. And my father, who passed away in 2015, what was interesting is I really grappled with the situation, even though I had reached a certain point and I had to do some automatic writing to contact my angels and ask why I was having difficulty. I was feeling his pain. And what I found out was that when people cross over, they don't necessarily, there's different parts of them. And what the angels were saying is that his pain body, which was part of his earthly identification, actually stayed and it attached to me. And so what I had to do, what they were telling me to do, is I needed to let go of his pain, because part of our karmic relationship was that I took too much responsibility for his healing process. And so that's why his pain body came to me. And that his other etheric body actually went on to work with, he didn't settle a lot of things before he transitioned. So they said he's in the arms of the angels and they're working with him to resolve the issues in his life. And then my daughter, about a couple weeks later, had a dream that he came to her and said, look what I've learned. And he had this like white chalk, you know, one of those white dry erase boards. And he's showing her, all I had to do was be happy and I would have gotten better. And which is what we all knew. He kind of killed himself with his misery. But it's interesting. And I just have countless stories during that same time period. I kept running into people that had experiences like where the loved ones appeared to them. And yeah, it's real. And if anybody wants to call in, and if anybody's listening would like to call in, we can take.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a glorious feeling, isn't it? And it makes you feel totally different about life after you have this experience, or you know that.
Absolutely.
You know, this isn't all there is to it.
Yeah, I always say, the best thing that ever happened to me was my husband's death, and not because, of course, he died, but because it woke me up to life, you know, and I really now know that there is no, you know, there are no mistakes, there's no ending, you can never do it all, there's always, you know, there's no finishing, it's all just a continuation, and that's why, like right now for me with the COVID and everything, like there are no mistakes and people, yes, it's tragic that people are dying and yet they're going to die at some point. And I don't mean to be callous. It's every death is sacred and, you know, and it's a transition for everybody that experiences it. But I also believe, you know, if I were to get it and it was my time, then that's just the next death. It's nobody is leaving. It's just a different experience. You know, they're just moving to a new place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not a bad thing. And I almost, when I was looking at this stuff this morning, I don't often spend that much time reading the word death repeatedly. And I noticed that it gave me a stomachache every time I read the word death in this. And I'm like, that's because death, and he was talking about language and how language is so powerful. And he said that the people with near-death experiences, for the most part, would say there aren't human words. Kind of like you said, there's new colors that don't exist here. And that that words can't accurately describe it. And so you do your best. But the thing is, the word death does not adequately or properly describe what happens when you transition. And I thought, wow, we almost need to get away from that. And I almost can't use that word. He died. He's dead. That's so harsh and wrong. It's not. So that's why I've been starting to say somebody transitioned, you know, because I know that's what happened. And
right. Well, it's interesting,
oh, yeah.
Alana. I'm actually in a project right now that is working on this gadget or you know thing that's it's called the soul phone, and they're actually scientifically proving that people are still here and that they're connecting with them on the other side, and they're going to have they want to have almost like a Zoom piece of equipment where we can Zoom with our passed away loved ones. And actually what they call them is post-material persons, because they're no longer in the material world, they're in the post-material world. So that's
what they
call them, is post-material people.
Yeah.
Isn't that
don't
great?
You kind of feel, I'm just, this is like bubbling up in me now, and I'm thinking, you know, I've been told by spirit that you can't really wrap your mind around the meaning of this disease that's throwing everything into so much turmoil. But I know that one of the elements of it is this coming to grips with our immortality or our continuation of consciousness and not fearing death, because the fear puts people for, I had somebody say to me, I can't, you know, they think that they think that I'm cold too, because I try to help people understand we shouldn't live in such fear. And I've had people get so angry. They think you're being cold and uncaring, like you had mentioned. And they don't understand that when you're in a higher evolutionary state, you realize it's not so. And we both describe that. And I had somebody say to me, I can't wait until you're 6 feet under. And I thought, see, that's what they think. They think that, like, when you quote-unquote die, you are like under this dirt in a box, like helpless to move. And yeah, when I was a child, that's kind of what I thought it was. And it isn't. And we need to get a more realistic picture of it. But still a lot of people have that. And the word death and dying, you know. And dying can be a pretty gnarly looking process too. You know, if you get in a bad car accident or you get cancer, that looks
Absolutely.
Pretty bad. But yeah, you're released from all of that burden. And that's what all the people with the near-death experiences said, is that there was this peace. Now all of them went through
That's
a different
exactly
thing when
right.
it came to getting back in their body, but they all said there's this peace, there's like this release of just no more burdens, and some people referred to it as being incredibly relaxed. I see we got a call. This is good. I have a Skype call coming in here. Do you want to see if we should take a call and see if somebody
Fabulous.
Wants some mediumship done? Okay,
yeah.
Let's click on that. Well,
Let's
welcome
do it.
To the Violet Phoenix. I got a Skype call here. Aloha. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air. I have a Skype call. You're on the air. Can you hear me? I can't hear you. I'll check back with you in a few minutes, okay? All right, I'm going to check back. Okay, anybody, if there's anybody out there that would like to, I was going to say when it comes to mediumship, I've noticed it kind of depends, it really depends on the situation, you know, who comes in or what's going to be communicated. So
yes.
if anybody wants to tune in, we will make an effort. But yeah, I did touch on the thing about the scientific. Now, when I look at things, I'm the scientist. And I'm always looking at things scientifically. So really, I don't see this as mystical or part of a belief system. I actually see it very scientifically. So you're saying that they're even studying ways, or they're developing ways that you can, like, intentionally have some kind of a mechanical communication with your transition? You said, what did you say? What were you calling
yes,
that?
Yes, they're creating... They're creating a device, yeah. They're creating a device called the soul phone, where right now it's a yes-no answer. So you can talk to your loved ones and ask them yes-no questions. And they're doing this scientifically.
Oh.
It's going to be done at 7 different universities, double-blind
uh-huh.
studies.
Ooh, cool.
With over, I think they've said, over 1 trillion pieces of information to prove. And currently they're talking to some of the top scientists that have crossed over, and they're super excited to be helping with this project. So
Ooh.
It's really, I mean, this is going to change our entire world, Alana, when this comes out, because there's going to be absolute zero doubt that we do continue on into this next lifetime, you know, into the next realm or, you know, transition rather than die. It's
yeah.
super exciting. It's like, you know, going from the world was flat to it's round, you know? I mean, it's going
right.
to just change
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, it's very dimensional. And the thing is, if anybody's really grappling with death, you might want to just ask your soul. You can ask your soul, just as I think both Lisa and I were doing. We were at a point in our life where we were just grappling with a situation, and spirit jumped in. And whatever you want to me, spirit, when I say spirit, I usually mean all of those parts that work together for the higher good, jumped in and gave us these experiences. I'm not sure if I finished mine real quickly. Mine was where I was shown heaven on earth. I could see everything was lit up, and actually everything was mostly white, and I could see everybody's soul. And I was in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. And so we actually have the potential as a group to move into that space. And that's where, you know, a lot of spiritualists and intuitives believe that that's what we're supposed to be doing at this time, that there's supposed to be a great awakening. So not only do we have the science to match it, but many, 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 many people believe that this is a time of a great awakening, where when people open up to their deeper consciousness or their heart or their soul or whatever you want to refer to it as, that they will start to have a different experience on earth. And that will really change the way we live and the way we interact yes. with each other. Did you have anything to add
Absolutely.
To that?
It's such an exciting time. And that's the other part about this Yeah, it's such an exciting time. And again, I think with the COVID, you know, a lot of the people that are opting out of being on the earth right now, you know, and AKA dying from this disease, it was just their plan. It was part of the plan when they came to this earth that they were going to leave at this time, you know? So that's where I don't, I'm not callous. I'm not cold. And of course, anybody that's lost a loved one, my heart goes out to them because it's hard to lose a physical being. You know, I lost my mom. I thought that was 6 years ago, and I lost my husband. I lost my dad. I mean, I've gone through, and it's awful to lose a loved one.
It
but
sucks.
At the same time, when you energetically and spiritually know, right. But when you know that they're still there, it makes it so much better. It's still hard. It doesn't make it easier, but, but at the same time, it's just when you're open and not afraid of death, it makes your life so much better, you know, and you live more fully.
Yes. Living more fully. And I've actually heard somebody say, if you aren't living, if you're afraid of dying. And that's a paradox. And I think what Lisa was just describing, that's kind of alludes to the same thing. It's a paradox. It's not that I'm mean and callous or don't care. Yeah, right. That's what I thought, too. There's a time period of time where it's very challenging, depending on the relationship you had with the person. It can be very challenging, and it can take different lengths of time, depending on the relationship, and to start to feel normal again. And the pain is there in the heart. You want to cry and you miss them. But you're right that if you can reach the point where you realize that they are still there, I can just imagine how thrilled the transitioned loved ones are to know that they're there. That's the other thing. Can you imagine if you're just constantly trying to tell somebody, I love you, I still love you, I'm here, and they can't hear you. And then the moment they can hear you, can you imagine how that makes them feel?
Yes.
So your husband...
And a lot of the issue is that when people are so deep in their grief, they can't hear the I love yous, you know. That's part of the issue with grief and why people can, if they can embrace death and be more open to it, that's when you start getting the messages from your loved ones, because you're open and your heart opens up. When your heart is closed because of deep grief, that's when you don't get those connections and you feel so separate from them. But, you know, and again, everybody has to grieve at their own time and their own pace. I'm not, again, telling anybody that they have to change anything. But if you want to connect to your loved ones, it really helps to open your heart and to ask for signs and to believe when you get them. And it's actually them. It takes a lot of effort for them to get us messages. So instead of questioning, like, oh, my God, was that a sign? It's like, yes, if you're thinking about your loved one and you see a sign, that's them connecting to you. And by you acknowledging it and saying thank you, it gives them that energy to be able to do it more often and be able to connect with them.
And what's interesting, once again, it's a paradox. You have to let go of the physical desire, because the grieving is part of the physical desire. You want to hold them. You want to hear that, you know. And you can't be entrenched or holding onto one realm and experience the other one. You have to be willing to let go of the solidity of this realm. And that's what spirituality teaches us too, is to let go of, this is a dense realm. The physical realm is denser than the other planes. So, and they are alive and well, and they're beautiful, as we've just described, but you have to let go of the density in order to experience that. So however people do that, a lot of people do it through crying. That's kind of what I was loosening my physical constructs. But what I thought was interesting was my dad that I had mentioned. When I passed through California, he was a very troubled person all his life. He really grappled with a lot of things, and he didn't resolve it before he got older and passed on, and he had dementia, and it was pretty treacherous. And he thought that God was punishing him. That's what he was saying, you know, for all the mistakes he made in his life. And when I went through, and his third wife is still in the same home in California, what was interesting is that I already gone through the process of letting go of the physical version of my dad. And when I was there, I felt all the love. I could feel his love. It was so intense. And, you know, and that's the gift you get by letting go of the physical, is you really get to feel their love, you know, like you said, is, and it seems kind of just kind of, oh, that's cute, but really, it's real. So that's really neat. So how do you, how is your husband, you want to share how
that's
your husband
right.
has communicated with you through the years? What is he, does he sometimes serve as a guide for you, or is he kind of
yes.
the support?
Definitely support for my kids. I just recently, my daughter was engaged and she actually called my son and said, oh my gosh, you know, do you think we should have her fiance call me first and say, you know, can I have your blessing to marry your daughter? And my son said, no, you know, we're not that kind of traditional family. She'll be happy for you guys. Just call her, you know. So they called me and told me. And then I called my son to talk about it, and he was explaining how they had called and to ask about the permission. And as we were talking, all of a sudden he said, oh, my God, Mom, why are you blaring the music Grease into the phone? And I'm like, I'm not playing the music Grease. And he said, well, I hear it. I said, oh, my God, Robbie, do you know what was the last movie you watched with your dad just hours before he died? And he's like, no, what? And I said, Grease. And he said, oh, my God, I had no idea. Well, then I called my daughter back and I said, you're not going to believe this. I was just talking to Robbie and he said, he was telling me the story about you calling and asking permission. And all of a sudden the music Grease started playing through his phone. And she said, without a beat, she just said, oh, my God, Mom, that was the last movie we watched with Daddy before he died. And I said, exactly. He was giving permission. He was telling us through that message that he was, you know, on board with the wedding. And it just blew me away, because the fact that my son didn't remember the story, you know, and, or the movie, and then my daughter did, to me was total confirmation that, you know, he's still with us. And he comes to us as a dragonfly all the time. I mean, whenever, even in the middle of winter, I mean, it's just crazy. These dragonflies just show up out of nowhere, or, like the other day, I just passed the real estate exam here in Hawaii, and I went to get lunch somewhere, and this gentleman started chatting with me, and I look at his hat, and there was a dragonfly pin on his hat, and I said, oh my gosh, I'm like, I just got a message from your hat saying congratulations, you know. So anyway, he's around all the time. He's very supportive. He's amazing. All the things that he helps my kids and me with.
And I kind of get, you know, being a reader myself, and I don't know if you've derived this, but I kind of get that it happened like it was meant to happen. This was part of the reason you had a relationship with him, and that you could have this experience.
Yes,
so it could advance you in your life purpose. So a lot of times things that seem, you know, the stuff that happened to me too, it advanced me in my life purpose, and it kicked off, it was part of kicking off a whole new way of living for me. And then back on to the thing about how when it's your time to go, if you read about the near-death experiences, you'll see that so often the people, once they experience this other realm, a lot of them say they resisted going back in their body because it's so pleasant. And all of them say it was because something, whether it was their higher self, some kind of knew what it was and some weren't sure what it was. Something was pushing them back in because it wasn't their time to go yet. And I have seen, you know, just doing readings and doing mediumships through all the years, I have noticed that also, how things are meant to be and how things are so perfectly designed to serve a purpose of causing us to grow, to ascend, to expand, and to learn things that we need to learn. So, your soul decides, I mean, let me conclude by saying that I have definitely concluded that your soul decides when it is time for you to go. And you can be totally messed up in a car accident and live for 40 years, you know, as a cripple. I've known people that, I know a guy that died playing a evening baseball league, got hit in the head with a ball, and boom, that was the end of him. So You know, sometimes children die. So actually, I gotta say transition.
That's right.
And it's just, you know, if it's your time, and it's all so different, and it has meaning, different meaning to everybody's experience. It just really depends on the individual experience, but
that's right.
Never a tragic. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And like you said, like so, for you, like with your dad and stuff, you know, we all have to experience the death or the transition of somebody, and you can use it as a place to go and kind of dive into the grief and just be in those lower, as I'll call them, vibrational feelings and expressions. But ultimately, you want to be able to rise out of that and use that as kind of a foundation of, you know, building yourself up and opening yourself up to these higher realms. It propels, if you choose, it can either propel you forward or propel you backwards. And that's why, to me, it's so, you know, helpful to have mediumship readings or to get assistance with grieving, because the longer you stay in that deep grief, the harder it is to get, you know, moving forward. And there is no, again, they're still there. They're ready and waiting and able to help you move forward, but you need to be able to take that step to allow that connection and have that new relationship. It's a new relationship,
a new relationship,
physical one, but it's a spiritual one.
Yeah.
And I always say,
right.
Yes, it's a new relationship. And it's just like water, right? When you boil water, there's water in the pan. You can see the physical water in the pan. And then when you boil it, it steams. The steam goes into the air. The steam is in the air. And we're not like, you know, oh, my God, it's gone. The water is gone. It's never going to be seen again. It's like, no. Then it eventually, you know, comes back again as rain. And then it starts over again. So it's a really beautiful, it's just the same process, but with our, you know, with our souls.
Yeah, that reminds me of the one where I heard the guy say, "I'm right here. I'm right next to you." It was where I was going through a time, like I said, there was so much crime and all of this stuff going on. And then here was this wonderful person I met who had a new marriage and a 1.5-year-old son. He just seemed like such an angelic person. And what happened was, I was looking for him many months later. I used to have a painting business. He had a roofing business. And I was looking for him because I needed a quote on my roof. And I'm calling and calling and calling for a period of weeks. And all of a sudden, I called the other number on the business card who was supposed to be his partner. And a woman answers the phone, and she stops for a second. She goes, "Greg passed away last fall." And I said, "No wonder I couldn't get a hold of him." I said, "What happened?" And she said, "He went out on his customer's fishing boat," which was right after my last conversation with him. He said he was going up to Oconomowoc Lake in Wisconsin. He went out on the boat. They couldn't find him. They found his body 6 weeks later. They don't know what happened. I called the wife. I said, "I got to talk to you. I'm having these experiences. I'm like feeling him and hearing him." And I started crying. Yeah, you need to go into the feeling first, because it's usually taking you somewhere. You just don't want to be insistent on staying in a negative spot with it, like how you said. So I went there. I let myself cry because that's how I was feeling. And then I could hear him. And I called his wife, and she was in such a beautiful place with it. And she really kind of put the frosting on my cake, and she said, she says, "He was such a beautiful person. He was so connected to Christ. There was 400 people at his funeral. This happened because he touched so many lives, and this was to teach so many people about," and I don't remember how she worded it, but it was, you know, "that he's in everything. He's everywhere. He's now in heaven, and he's with God, and he's in everything." And I could feel that when she was telling me that. And what was interesting was, actually, a few months later, I ended up hanging wallpaper in a house, and I heard a woman on the phone, and she's saying, "Yeah, nah, nah, nah." I go, "Are you talking?" She got off the phone. I said, "Are you talking about a guy named Greg?" And that was the name of this guy. Mm-hmm. And she says, "Yeah, my sister's husband, this thing happened to him." I said, "Yeah, I know." So it was interesting. And I went home, and I said, remember, we said this is the beginning of our mediumship. And I went home for lunch. It was a big wallpapering job. I went home for lunch, and I said, "Greg, was there something you wanted me to tell them?" And he says, "Tell them that my business partner did not kill me." And I called him up, And I said, Greg wants me to tell you, I knew they were open to it because this was all set up by spirit, and that his business partner did not kill him. And she said, oh, my God, I needed to hear that.
Wow.
She goes, some of the relatives were investigating him because there was a life insurance policy because of their business partnership. And they were suspecting that the partner killed him for the life insurance money. And he said, no, it was just my time to go. And he went out on the boat and he was
all over the side. Wow.
And so the mediumship can be very, you know, and I know people that use that for solving crimes too. You know, I've heard the FBI and a lot of police departments use mediums to help with that. And it's, you know, it's definitely a more advanced way to live. You know, it's just that people got to get past the fear of all of that. And sometimes people don't like that because it's too much of the unknown.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of scary to people too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well,
it's also very useful.
It's important to study the near-death experiences, and now with the shared death experiences, because that can help you understand, you know, the next round.
Exactly.
And start to, you know, start to be more comfortable around the idea of transitioning and not be so fearful. And I said from the very beginning when this COVID thing started, I said, you know, what's going to be the biggest issue is people's fear of death, because people are going to panic. Mm-hmm. People are going to go into fear mode because that's their greatest fear, is that they're going to die, quote unquote. And I feel like this is an awakening for everybody to realize that, you know, again, unless it's your time, you're not going to die. And those people that are dying, it was their time to transition.
Yes.
And there is no good or bad. It's just a different experience. And that if, you know, if it wasn't their time, they wouldn't go. And this is all, again, I like to say pre-planned. This is my belief. I'm not saying that this is I don't know
for sure,
but it feels like, you know, this is pre-planned. And it was just a way for this transition, because we are opening up to a whole new, what are they calling it? The age of Aquarius, you know, and like the fact that we're going to have proof and we're going to be able to start talking to our passed away loved ones with these devices. Like, that's a whole new paradigm shift. That's no longer, you know, us on this little tiny earth all by ourselves. This is us connecting with, you know, these other realms. And it's just such an exciting time. And we all chose to be here right now. That's the other part. We chose to be here right now to experience this.
Right, exactly. And I have to remind myself that a lot of times. I'm glad you brought that up too, because, you know, every day I have to kind of shake it off, because I walked past, just this morning too, I'm walking past people on the beach talking about stuff, and they're talking about, I can't wait until they have a vaccine because this is terrible and it's got to be, you know, you hear so much stuff and you see stuff on Facebook, you hear stuff on the news. I'm on NPR and they always got some new terrible statistics, and then I have to go and just get back to, no, this is a really good time. And even though it seems really challenging, it's going to take everybody into a better place. And it's touching on everybody in an entirely different way, because everybody's path is very unique. So this is striking everybody differently. But that's how you and I decided to do this show, as we were talking about this, the current disease. I don't like to call it a pandemic, because that's my belief on that. But that we said, well, what it gets down to is the fear of death. And my wisdom has really kicked up during this time period, because I haven't been working as a result, and all this stuff, new coping mechanisms for me. But what Spirit's been telling me is that darkness, which is anything that's uncomfortable or miserable or painful, only fills in the void where the light needs to shine. So anytime something is really hard for us, difficult, challenging, really challenging us to the core, that means somewhere inside of us, we need to turn the lights on. And Esther Hicks will say, choose a better feeling thought.
Yeah.
and that's because, like I said, heaven is here. I saw it. Lisa Jones has seen it. So and plenty of people have seen it.
Yep.
It is here. It is real. And it's just a matter of wanting to align with that. And anything that is dark is not created by God. And as A Course in Miracles says, nothing real can be threatened and nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And sometimes that strikes a note in people, and sometimes people are like, what? That's kind of like, but that's kind of like the paradox, because all that's unreal is just the absence of the light. That's all it is. And I don't know if that makes sense to people, but I hope it does. And
that's
where I'm
going
to leave this discussion. And
it
if,
sure
Lisa,
makes sense
if you have
to
any
me.
Closing. Okay, and you know what? This is so cool. I first signed
no,
on, and it was 144, and that's the sacred geometry is 144,000. That's how many souls turned on it's going to take to flip our consciousness as a group. And I just, when I said that's my final word, my time on the clock was 14 minutes and 44 seconds. So go ahead. You got any, do you have any closing remarks? Anything you want
to
add?
I just wanted to say what a beautiful conversation. And I hope that people get a lot of value out of this, because I feel like there's just some great nuggets of wisdom in here. And that if you're concerned about the transition time or what's going on right now, really it's a time to reflect and go within. And everything you need is in your heart. And that's where you can start shining that light from, is, you know, just from your heart center out into your world. And that's the best way to do it that I've found.
We'll do on my readings. And next week I will be doing free readings again. And I call them soul and energy readings, because it's not about doing predictions. It's about helping you align with your heart, your soul, or however you like to refer to it, your center. And in the meantime, don't forget to breathe. We love you. Have a wonderful week. Aloha.